Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob, Scott, and Becky all try a sweet pink sparkler from France in Patrick Cotex's Bouget Sadon. So sit back, relax, and actually pretend that we can speak French here on the Wine Vault. Welcome, everybody, to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy. Tonight, I am joined by, well, Jesus slash Matthew McConaughey.
Personal.
One doesn't look like Jesus. That. I don't know. Anyway, a man that's wearing a shirt that's far too loose fitting. And what is that made of? Terry cloth? Did you come from the pool?
Egyptian cotton.
Egyptian cotton.
It's a Banana Republic.
Is it? I didn't see that in their fall catalog or their summer
catalog.
Well,
this would have been a little bit older.
Okay, it's back when they actually were made in a Banana Republic. Okay.
Yeah, well.
Yes. But anyway, the unlicensed taxi driver's on tonight.
And I'm really excited about tonight's show.
I just realized you in public dress that way.
I do go in public dress this way.
You know, it's impressive. I like to see someone who's secure. You're not trying to impress anybody.
I'm not.
That's at all.
I think there's a reason why all of us podcast.
Why is that?
We're not on TV. So it doesn't matter what we look like. No one knows what we
look like. I didn't say I look good, but I'm not out, you know, right now. I'm wearing a crappy looking t-shirt. But also with us, who's wearing my clothes, is the Triple B.
Good evening.
I guess we all have our own costumes on tonight, right. Don't we?
Well.
I look like, once again, the disc jockey t-shirt.
Double t-shirt. You're going double t-shirt.
Wearing pants that you can see my junk in. She didn't like these pants.
Oh, my God.
You know, they're workout pants. I don't work out, but, you know, they're workout pants. Yeah. I could have the pants and not work out, I suppose, but nevertheless.
Did you buy him some stuff from my sister?
What?
From your sister? Yeah. Some LuLaRoe?
Yeah, did you buy him LuLaRoe?
Scott, that shirt looks LuLaRoe to me.
Hey, no.
A little bit.
No.
It's a loose fitting. It's almost a tunic. If it was longer, it would be a tunic.
Well.
I just never seen one of those shirts before. I'm fascinated.
It's very bohemian. It's very comfortable.
Yeah.
It's soft.
Is it made with hemp? It's not made with hemp. It's made with cotton.
It's like Egyptian cotton. Seriously.
It's like Egyptian cotton. It's not Egyptian
I'm saying
cotton.
It's made with Egyptian cotton.
Oh, okay. Cotton from Egypt?
Yeah.
Okay. Just checking.
No, for its
Let's
softness.
Let's get into the wine. I'm ready.
No well, kidding.
Speaking of uniqueness.
Wine.
On tonight's show, we have a very, very unique, rare wine that, quite frankly, a lot of people probably have never heard of. And this is the wine from Bouget in France. And Bouget, assuming I'm pronouncing that right, and I believe I am.
I'll call it Bougie.
Well, you can call it Bougie if you want. But Bouget is a wine region that used to be part of Beaujolais. Or is it Beaujolais or is it Burgundy?
Bougie.
I'm sorry. Bougie.
Vin de Bougie.
Vin de Bougie.
Bougie.
I'm going to call it Bouget, though. That's nicer. And it's just, it's wedged right in between Burgundy. Beaujolais, Rhone, and Savoy. It's right there, right in the middle of that. And they make some interesting wines there. They make interesting, unique things. And this is Bougie Chardon, which is their sparkler. It is made from 10% Gamay and 90% Gamay and 10% Poussard, which is a local grape, a pale red. Both actually a pale red. But this is Patrick Botec's Bougie Chardon La Carulier. Is that how we would say that? Carulier?
Hey.
Carulier? Anyway, it is their sparkler. It's around $20. It's very, very interesting because most people don't know this exists because it's hard to find. You founded a specialty wine shop in Columbus.
Our friend Jana, the Twisted Vine, which is fantastic.
And the interesting thing about this wine
Hold on, I have a question. Was it recommended or did you see it on the shelf? Or
I asked about it. It was a sparkler. It was around New Year's, I think, was when we had this. And, you know, I'm not going to talk about what we thought of it because let's save that for the show. Yes, I bought a bottle for the show and a bottle for us. This is what we have for New Year's Eve.
Okay, cool.
No, you're here for New Year's Eve.
Well, I mean, this is what I bought for New Year's Eve and
didn't drink.
We didn't drink.
You just drank it some other time.
When did you drink it?
Right near New Year's Eve. Maybe even New Year's Day.
Huh.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And how much was it a bottle? 20?
Around 20-ish.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing about this is, it is a sparkling wine, as I said. It is, well, I wouldn't call it pink. It's a rhubarb color.
Which is what they described it as. Mm-hmm. And it's
I mean, it's pinkish, but it's more purpley pink. It's and gorgeous. I'll tell
you, just based off the color, though,
mm-hmm.
if I had seen this somewhere, I would maybe have, it looks almost like a bubbly cough syrup.
A little bit. I've had a little bit of that recently. So, yeah.
And so I have high hopes for this, but I'm saying if I saw this out somewhere, I would be like, oh my gosh, what are you drinking?
Hmm.
I don't know, though. It's beautiful in a way.
It's pretty.
It's also lightly sweet.
Oh, really? It's mm-hmm. not going to be sugary
well,
sweet.
It's Gamay. So, well, no, it's French. Once again, remember, this is true. Pure French. So, in the world of Roscato and Moscato and things with grenadine in them, this wine is legit because it's old guard. It predates a lot of the, well, any of the kitschy stuff.
Yeah.
And it even the method in which it's made predates the way champagne is made.
How about that?
Interesting. So, the folks.
Those are beautiful.
I know. We're going to take a break. Then we're going to come back with the Bouge Chardon. See, I'm going to say it my way. Here on the Wine Vault.
Unlicensed taxi driver here. When I'm out on the road, mayhem is everywhere. Mayhem doesn't care, but your local Allstate insurance agent, Craig Walters, does care. Are you in good hands? Are you in the good hands of Craig Walters Insurance Agency?
And if you're not, folks, please give Craig a call. His number is 740-862-4585. You can also meet him at his office at 107 North Main Street, Baltimore, Ohio. For auto, home, or life, give Craig a call.
And we're back, folks. So the Patrick Botex Bouge Chardon La Carrière, or something like that. Sure. Something like that. Sure.
One guy is dancing in his Bouge Chardon. He says that.
Yes, because who knows how it's actually pronounced. So the wine in the glass, as we said, it's a rhubarb color, beautiful small bubbles, but it has a frothiness to it.
It does.
Unlike champagne, which is going to be still at the top, when you give it a little twirl, it froths up. And by the way, folks, top tip, opening any sparkling wine, be very careful. If you have a little guard, that little twisty thing, little metal frame thing. Sometimes on some wines, that's the only thing holding that cork in because of the pressure. And when you take that metal thing off, there will be no twisting of the cork. It's going to shoot out like a rocket or a bullet out of a gun. Never pointed at anyone. This wine tonight took the guard off the very second I took it off. Not it just exploded, and it fired. It sounded like a rifle shot. I don't know where the cork is. Maybe it's up my nose. Like I did. And it didn't actually lose any liquid, though, which was very, very lucky. But always do it near a sink, too. And preferably, if you're going to take off the cork, have a towel over it.
Yeah, and I mean, that is
safety first.
That is a way to do it. You just have a dish towel, and you just drape it over the cork. You can hold the dish towel with one hand as you hold the bottle and use your other hand to use the thumb to open it. But, you know, this is a little different that... This popped straight when you released the guard.
Yep, and that does occasionally occur, but it's not the norm. But just assume that it's going to every time. Okay. I always do.
Except for tonight.
No, I did tonight. That's why I'm okay.
Yeah, and very definitely, you know, you have your head back away from the from the neck of the bottle.
Don't point it next to your, you know, antique mirror. Don't do anything.
Our glass china cabinet.
Don't do that. No. Mm-hmm. Mm-mm. So. On the nose.
Floral.
It is floral and an undertone of raspberry.
Ooh. Yeah.
Which is one part of it.
And a little bit of minerality.
There is minerality. And rhubarb. Does have a little bit of rhubarb on the nose.
Hmm. I'm so surprised that it's not a sugary nose.
Well, I mean, it's French. Let's not forget, it's French.
I know.
And interestingly enough, 4,000 cases of this was all that was made.
We're going in, folks.
We are gonna. I can't resist. One thing I did read about this is it can be drank very easily, dangerously so. Luckily, yeah. It's only 8% alcohol, which would make the superstar very upset. But, you know what this would be nice
superstar
with?
Superstar would love this wine.
People say, in a little bit of the articles I read, one of the best breakfast wines there is.
Is this?
Mm-hmm.
This would be fantastic with breakfast.
Mm-hmm. And suppose, instead of a mimosa,
just this.
You could just
this.
Drink it. Oh, yeah.
Wouldn't that be lovely?
Yeah.
Because you think that somebody put Chambord in it, but they didn't. It's just this straight.
I'm mentally having a little bit of a hard time not... When I see this, and then when I drink it, I'm having a hard time with it not being like a strawberry-flavored champagne because of the color of it. Do you know what I mean? Well, it doesn't have that... syrupy taste that I'm expecting when I drink it.
It's sweet, but it's fruit sweet.
Yeah, not.
And that's
yeah.
the interesting bit. Yeah, it's fruit sweet in the fact that like a very very sweet strawberry,
right?
Or a sweet raspberry. That's what it. You know,
kind of both of them.
Yeah,
you mm-hmm. get a hint of both of them and a very ripe strawberry.
Yes,
if you're gonna go strawberry with this. Are you getting the little subtle streak of minerality in there?
Yeah.
Which is so nice with the sweet wine.
Yeah, it is.
And you know. A slight bit of spiciness on the finish.
Mmm.
Just a whiff. Mmm. But it's also pale and delicate on the palate. But just, you can taste the fleshiness of the fruit all the way through. It tastes like just slightly fermented fruit juice.
Yeah.
It's lovely.
This would be divine for breakfast.
Oh,
I mean,
yes.
It really, really would be.
Mm-hmm.
Almost no matter what you had.
As opposed to orange juice.
Just
drink this every day.
Scrambled eggs and toast. Just a basic breakfast.
Or
this
just,
would be fantastic.
Or just this.
Or
let's just not beat around the bush here. Just this.
Wouldn't this be a great way to start your day on vacation?
Oh, yeah, out on the balcony.
The boys are getting ready. You're getting ready for the pool or the beach or whatever.
Bottle of this, bottle two or four of this for vacation this year.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Especially because Becky used to like cold duck a lot, so this makes a lot of sense. No.
It's not nice.
It was funny,
but it wasn't nice.
I mean, cold duck. I mean, it's like this, except for the fact that it has urine and hairspray in it.
You can't be super judgmental. This wine is currently on ice in our kids' sand bucket.
I did that for the aesthetics. Folks, I don't have a ice bucket, but
really?
I was looking around. I said,
I think we do upstairs. I know where one is, but it's okay. Go ahead.
I said, you know, a child's sand bucket would make a hell of a ice bucket. And you know what's even better? I left the shovel attached to it.
I know. I actually,
we have to get a picture of that and post it to the website.
Of course. Triple B will take a picture.
I actually think it was something that Henry got from pre-K. Like it was an award or something he got, which is even better.
Well, I know the bucket's clean because it was in their bathtub with them. So that's good.
Okay.
So that's good.
A little too much information.
It does fit pretty well.
It's perfect.
Mm-hmm. It's a perfect ice bucket. It's not insulated, though. So there's that. So it doesn't
the ice will melt quickly. So we have to drink up.
Let's be honest.
No, I lie mostly.
A bottle of champagne, three people going through it.
I know.
You know, we don't have to worry about the ice melting.
No, we've never.
You know what else? With this little sparkler, we don't have to worry about the ice melting. Yeah, we're all getting a little
refilled. I didn't say
here.
I was pouring you guys in.
Well, we did.
Ah, look how pretty.
It's like an angel's tears.
An angel's tears. The frothiness is something else.
I love how it's like a pinky yellow and then it goes up into white. It's so pretty.
It frosts the way a mimosa would frost. It just doesn't have the orange juice to breathe.
That's the sand bucket, folks.
The spiciness.
It is. It has a lot of interesting little intricacies to it. I had never heard of this. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I knew the things like that. This were out there, but I wasn't familiar with it.
Yeah.
It's just so... I mean, the people that would be fans of this, that would know it very intricately and would horribly be uninteresting people to talk to. I mean, they really wouldn't. You wouldn't want to, you know. They do actually donate to PBS. That's the person.
Wow.
They do. So very interesting.
I was going to ask how many different kinds of this, like, of winemakers make this wine. Do you know?
I do not know. Not a shit ton.
Not a lot, right? No.
This is considered, though, in the article I read, it was called the Eater or Eatery. This was considered the top version of the Cerdon.
Wow. Right on.
Way to go, Scott.
Mm-hmm. And a couple other things. This is a new AVA. It might be the newest French AVA.
I think it was
2009.
What used to be part of Beaujolais.
Right.
See, I thought it was Beaujolais. Then I realized, oh, okay. Yeah. And they've been, these, I think it was, where is it at? The vine age, though, was planted between 1960 and 2010.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
So.
But Gamay, to be used for a sparkler, it's.
Well, it's a good.
Gotta be unprecedented.
Well, Gamay has a bad rap, partly because we drink Beaujolais Nouveau. That's what everybody knows. Mm-hmm. And that's just sloppy shit. I mean, but there are a lot of really top level Gamays out there. I mean, it's part of Burgundy. And I mean, Georges de Wolf makes some of them, but it's not necessarily the Beaujolais Village. It's the next levels up,
right?
And we've talked about, it's the same principle that you'd have in Burgundy, or same principle you'd have in Rhone. You know, I can't. It's just too much for me to explain it again.
What
so
is it
just,
mixed
I keep
with Gamay and what?
A little bit of
Poulmard.
And what does that do?
Oh, I'm sorry. Poussard.
Poussard.
You know, it's a similar grape to Gamay in the fact that it's a pale red. Yeah, and it's... Let me see here. Actually, I pulled up a little bit of information from it. It's from the Jura wine region normally. But there's very small amounts of Poussard made. So you don't... You're going to see it blunt in that area. But it makes a very good Blanc de Noir.
Ooh.
So... Pinot Meunier is probably a comp. So that's why you're seeing it in the sparkler. It's mm-hmm. a good, you know. So you don't have to take the skin. It's just already a pale red.
Yeah. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think that's the coloring?
Well, both of them. Gamay's a red grape, too. I mean, no. It's probably giving it a little bit of that. It could be that a little bit more of a minerality. Just a little bit more structure, because Gamay can be a bit of a bum if left to its own devices. But when you're tidying it up with a little bit more of an austere, minerality-driven grape, you know, you have a little bit more going on. You have structure. You have depth. You have a really good wine. Just an interesting wine. Different wine. It's one of those things. I don't know that I would use it the same way as I would champagne. So if I was going to do New Year's Eve, I wouldn't do this. But I would do this at a fancy brunch. I would do this. I mean, I would. I mean,
people are gonna love this.
The brunch, the day after your married brunch.
Ah, yeah.
Can you imagine? Or the day that you're being married brunch. Mm-hmm. This is the greatest wine ever.
Yeah.
And I think that it's so approachable and drinkable. Why are you? Oh, this is hard to find. But screw that other stuff. Pour Roscato down the drain. This is what you should be drinking.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You'll like it, and it's classy.
Everybody's going to like this. And, mm-hmm. I mean, it just the effervescence just explodes every time you tip the glass. It just it's like a new explosion of the bubbles.
It's just, and it's also, it teaches you something. Because that lingering minerality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It has structure, but it has the sweetness that you like, but it's not residual sugar. Well, it is residual sugar sweetness, but it doesn't taste like it's tacked on. It's natural.
Yes.
It's well-balanced within the wine. These are all very, very important things. Very, very important things.
You could easily drink a bottle of this yourself.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes,
you have to be very careful.
You wouldn't even be drunk, but it's only 8%.
Yeah, but still.
I've drank a whole bottle of port by myself.
Hammer boy.
Just saying. It was warrior. That's 20%.
Ooh.
I didn't say that was wise. I just said I did it.
I might have started the evening off with a tawny port last night.
Oh,
nice.
Pre-dinner.
Pre-dinner?
You know, sometimes you got to have dessert for starter.
What kind was it?
Graham's.
Oh, Graham's tawny? Okay.
At Prost.
Mm-hmm.
Reynoldsburg, yeah.
Well, I've done sherry before dinner.
We were pre-gaming, and I'd had a long day working on the house, and was in the attic pulling wire. Not fun. Yeah, fun. And let's just say I wanted to get a kick start. So I said, yeah, let's start with some port.
Well, there's nothing. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Did you have one of those sandwiches, the prime rib sandwiches?
I did not. We Princess wanted to eat, and she wanted me to eat, and I didn't want to eat, and we split a bowl of soup. I just had a couple little nibbles. But it was wonderful. It was beef barley with mushroom.
Oh. You split a bowl of soup?
I just had a couple bites.
So what did you eat?
I didn't. Maybe when we got home.
Oh, you mean when you got home.
No. I just wasn't hungry. I was still winding down from working all day. And it was one of those deals where tired and past hungry. So it was just like, food wasn't it? We had that, had a glass of Zen.
Which Zen?
What did I have? It was nondescript. It wasn't good. Prost, actually, by the glass, not very interesting. It was Honin.
Honin?
Yeah.
Honig?
Honig, excuse me. Honig. And it was,
I didn't know they made a Zen.
Yeah.
Or did you just make that up?
I maybe made it up. Because I don't remember what I don't think it was nondescript and it wasn't very good.
Honig is expensive. Ish. Yeah. I don't know. I'm not saying they don't make a Zen, but it's like Kunde.
Everything that I wanted to have was by the bottle, and Princess was drinking Kentucky Bourbon Barrel. Yeah. Yeah.
What did I have for dinner last night, Becky? I cannot remember.
We had steak. You cooked, you grilled out.
Yes, my parents came and I grilled ribeyes. That's what.
Wow.
They were
it was delicious. And then he grilled veggies. And it was like Brussels sprouts, broccoli, zucchini, tomatoes grilled on the grill. Delicious.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely delicious.
In the grill basket, you know?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, that was good.
So good. And then his mom brought up like raspberries, blackberries, blueberries. And they were all like peak.
They were very sweet. Like this. They would go well with this.
They were really, really, really good.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We had a great, it was a beautiful night. So we were outside grilling. It was nice very, very nice. We moved all of our patio furniture out.
Boys and I played baseball.
I moved all of our patio furniture out.
You did a very good job. Yeah.
But no, it needed to be done. And then we were kind of winding down, and Henry brings out all the ice cream out of the freezer.
Oh, yeah.
It was cute, though. It was a nice night.
It was. It was a nice night.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And in Ohio, where we all live, it's finally springtime, and we have had a terrible, terrible winter, and it seems like it has lasted for a year and a half, and so now that it's 60s, 70s, the sun is out, I feel like everyone by where we live is like just soaking up all the vitamin D they can.
No kidding. Partying. I mean, just partying outside, you know, just partying with the sun.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Reacquainting. We're finally not cold, you know?
That's true. So, folks, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, folks, you can only imagine here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So on tonight's potpourri, I'm going to ask a simple question of everyone at the table. It's very simple, very easy to answer. What characteristic of a wine do you like least?
Ooh.
What is a deal breaker?
I'm torn.
I know. You like to talk about this kind of stuff.
Okay, so I'm really torn. Immediately, I thought real sugar, like real sugary. But then I also thought when it's fake oak, like both of those kill a wine. And if I'm having to pick, I would almost rather have sugary than the fake oak, like the drops. You know what I'm?
Yeah. Super sweet doesn't do it for me either. As soon as you asked the question, that's the first thing that popped into my head. But you know, and I kind of have to agree with what you're saying there. The fake oak just doesn't. It just that sour oak, that yeasty sour oak.
I can like taste it in my mouth when you talk about it.
But I'm, you know, those are two things that I'm in agreement with you. But something that's it's almost it's more of an annoyance than anything else. I don't like the characteristic, but it annoys me and it kind of pisses me off. Purple Death. Purple Death.
Okay.
You know, don't add Purple Death to your wine, people. Yeah, they're probably tricking most of the masses. The masses don't know. But anybody that has taken the time to develop some red wine chops, you can smell Purple Death a mile away. And that pisses me off, actually. I'm going to be honest. So I'm going to throw that out there.
What about you, wine guy?
One thing that I have developed a big time distaste for is out of balance acidity. Wines that are overly acidic, especially in the finish, it turns it into an absolute just a shit show. Remember Chateau Souverain?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if the episode will ever air, but Penfold's Canunga Hill.
Right.
Wines that go past reasonable points of acidity and then become metallic or coarse and harsh. I used to see it a lot more in Pinots, but I think the Cali Pinot producers have gotten more chops and are just doing a better job in producing their Pinots. But anymore, we're seeing it even Cabernets.
Yeah.
Where are these winemakers? These are just basic fuck-ups, though, in the winemaking process.
Right.
They're not making or growing Chateau Souverain on volcanic hills. That's not happening. They're growing it right next to a parking lot at Walmart. So it's not like you're going to have, you know, all that shit in the soil where there's going to be acidic soils that's causing the wine to be acidic. They just suck.
Yeah.
It's bad winemaking.
When you've got acidity from soil content, from terroir, it's different. You know, it's different. It's appealing. It's pleasing.
It? See, they intentionally do shitty oak because they're trying to
hide.
Pretend.
Yeah.
They intentionally do Purple Death because they're trying to hide.
Right.
Acidity, they're dipshits and don't know what they're doing. And either the malolactic fermentation isn't done properly, or they just suck and they dropped a battery in there. Like Souverain, it eats your throat away.
It does.
It's not the only one we've had like that.
Yeah.
It makes you feel ill. And that's a problem. I don't think that that's a good quality of a wine.
What did we have? Oh, one of those bad TJs.
Oh, yeah. I mean, good God. Don't you drink it before it leaves?
I don't know that.
Pour some milk in it. That'll cut it. I mean, I don't know.
You know.
What?
There is a point to drinking some of the bad stuff we do.
Is there?
Yes, because you can appreciate all these flaws. Oh. They stand harshly naked.
Hmm.
Where, you know, maybe you don't find the flaws as easily if we're not experienced by having petite reserve.
Well,
lines.
Good God. Well, those that one just tasted like vomit, but there's a difference. I mean, yeah, some wines you taste them, you go, who the fuck said this was good?
Right.
There couldn't have been someone that said, I mean, who?
Well.
The Petite Reserves, that's a good one. The Merlot, the Monterey Merlot.
Ugh.
What turnip truck did that person fall off that made that? First of all, it couldn't have been made by a person.
Well.
Right? I mean, it could have been made by Isis.
A goat.
You throw somebody off a building or you make them drink that.
We did talk about that. That could be proof of,
well, I think the Geneva Convention,
that you really want to join the United
Geneva
States.
They can't send that to overseas. They can't send that out the border because of the Geneva Convention.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. You don't need bombs. You just drop that shit out of an airplane. Somebody drinks it, they're fucked up.
Yeah.
It's chemical warfare.
Put it in a care package.
Man. Give me the mustard gas. I've never had it, but I mean, shit. Well, at least I wouldn't have to pay for it. They dispense that free in the air.
You have had Underwood Pinot Noir.
Oh, yes, I have had that. Ooh. I called that, I said that that was like being attacked by a psychotic clown. That's what I said.
Almost brought a can just.
Why?
For memory's sake. For you.
They put it in bottles now, you know?
To bring it for you.
Why?
Just to annoy you.
I mean, I wonder how it tastes out of a bottle. Do they have to have a metal-lined bottle because the glass can't hold it back? It's got to be lead-lined glass, right?
Oh, by the way, Love Block.
Yes?
$20.99.
It always is $20.99.
I thought it was like $24.99. No.
Hey, Scott.
Huh?
We landed on the moon.
I don't
what?
Even, yeah. I was going to say, I don't know what Love Blanc, Sauvignon Blanc pricing is, really.
$20.99.
Well,
I thought it was higher.
No. No. I mean, you can buy it when it's off post off, but I don't. I mean.
We haven't bought it in a while.
We bought the Pinot.
Yeah, we did.
We haven't drank it yet, though.
Mm.
That'll be a really exciting wine vault night.
Never meet your heroes. Well, anyway, folks, we're going to take a break and be right back. See, I've never met Patrick Swayze. Well, I can't meet Patrick Swayze now.
He's passed now.
He has, yeah. He's just my hero because he crashed his plane getting drunk on Chimney Rock Cabernet. That's pretty awesome. I love that. I've told that story before.
You have told that story before.
And that's pretty damn awesome. He's drinking Chimney Rock out of the bottle, man. You got a problem when you do that. Because you should drink that out of a glass, but still.
And probably not while you're flying.
Hey, man, he lived for a while. Anyway, so we're going to take a break. Be right back before I say something terrible here on the Wine Vault.
See you.
Hey, everybody, it's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault?
I know the Unlicensed does.
Well, that's great. Do you know how you can get that done? Do you know the one way the world can find out about the Wine Vault?
What way is that, Rob?
Giving us a review on iTunes. So, take the time. Give us that 5-star or whatever. Let us know. Let the world know that you love the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back.
And we're back, folks. So, the Patrick Botex Bouget Chardon La Courrier.
Before we get into review it, like scoring it.
Sure.
Can we kind of talk through when this is something that's like not like what we've had before?
What?
It can be difficult, a comparison point.
Right,
is that what you're getting at?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think there is a comparison point for this.
Yeah.
You know, it has features of being a rosé just because that's what it is. It's
right.
It's a red grape that you're
but typically
treating
they don't use Gamay to make rosé, so.
And typically we don't use Gamay to make sparklers. Right. So,
well, there they do.
Mm-hmm. Once again, our friends at Twisted Vine did not lead us astray.
They did lead you astray when they said it was 100% Gamay, and it's not. They also, you paid $25 for this, by the way.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted something interesting. A spark or something interesting. And
yeah.
It's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
It's yeah, delicious. But sometimes they're just, you don't have a comparison point.
Yeah.
You know, Beck? I mean.
That's what I'm thinking, too. And it's like true of the varietal character. Well.
It is. But.
But do you know what I mean? It's like.
You have to judge the wine. In and of itself.
For what it is, too.
Oh, you're such... Do you see his face?
Yeah. Well.
That's right. You can't argue with that.
But you could punch that nose.
Oh, yeah.
You could just
punch
like pop
face.
Him one. Just pop.
Yeah. And I kind of, like, when I'm doing my review, I also want to be like, well, the bubbles are great. You know, because they are. They're really, really beautiful.
Yeah. That's okay. That's how Parker reviews stuff. I love the bubbles.
But the truth is that's
the bubbles are really gorgeous.
Huge component of
I'll
sparkler.
Help you. As James Suckling, me, I say on my master class,
I love the bubbles. I like to boogie. And if you pay $125 for my 90-minute internet class that you can also see on YouTube for free, I will tell you how you will rate things from Bouge Chandon. Thank you.
Have you watched his videos?
No.
Have you?
No way.
I wish I could. If I could comment on them, I would. Yeah. Someone.
What's that TV show called, or where it's like that little alien, and they go in and watch the movie?
Mystery Science Theater.
Yeah. Oh, that's theater.
I have a comment from Rob the Wine Guy. Rob the Wine Guy types, D's nuts. Oh, what? No. The wine is not nutty. What? Balls on my chin? What? No, there aren't. Go ahead.
The number that comes to mind for me would be like an 88.
Okay.
True varietal character. I love the fruitiness. I love the minerality. It's such a treat. So I would probably do like 88, 89-ish.
Which one do you give it?
I'll say 88, but I very much recommend it and would love to have it again.
Hmm. El Scoot.
Ninety of my points. I like the minerality of this. That's really why. And I'll have to say, I enjoyed this more the second time than I did the first time. The sweetness hit me differently the first time. Like, it was just a little too sweet. I appreciated it. I really enjoyed it. But it was like it was a little too sweet. I'm not getting that impact tonight. Mm-hmm. It didn't hit me that way.
You were probably drinking it out of a water glass, though.
No. We had proper champagne glasses. Oh, okay. And maybe I just didn't expect it to be so sweet.
No, possibly.
And, you know, the other thing is maybe sitting back. That's why the pressure built up. I took some of that residual sugar and turned it into alcohol.
I was on spring break shaking that shit up.
Going to drink from the bottle tonight, son.
Check my ass and look for the cork.
But, if I was going to frame the score, be 88 to 90, and I really like it. Mm-hmm. I also highly recommend it to the listeners, if you can get your hands on it, or anything of this style from the region.
Oh, yeah, try it.
I would be super interested if someone had something similar to let us know what you thought of it. Because I haven't had anything like this before.
Well, on my masterclass, I had cold duck. I love cold duck. I gave it 94 of my points. Aggregate score, 57.
All right, tell us your score. Why?
No one ever listens to my scores.
Well, I always provide the correct score.
Uh-huh.
And that score is an 88, as the Triple B so aptly put. my score, yeah, I think that 88 is a good score in the fact that, what is the varietal character? Well, I mean, forget that. It's a styled wine from France, so it has chops. It has good structure. It has minerality. It has 19,000 different things that you like, and also it tastes yummy. Mm-hmm. Okay?
It really is yummy.
It is yummy in a way that doesn't make you feel dirty.
It is such a treat. It really is.
It's a natural flavor. It's kind of like a Belgium lambic.
Yeah.
Like,
Well, no, it's not.
Well, like, yes. It's kind of like a framboise lambic.
Ugh.
Yeah, similar. In the same genre. It's okay to drink it because it is, in a certain way, classy. But this has so many different situations where it'd be so much fun to drink it.
I love that we've had this bottle, and we're all immediately trying to think of the next time we want to drink it.
Oh,
like,
100%.
What's the occasion?
Yeah. Where's a raspberry tart? Mm-hmm.
And I get your comparison point. Where I differ with you on the lambic is lambic's not easy for most people to drink, but that fruit flavor is the same.
Well, if you're at Lindemann's framboise lambic, that's fucking sweet.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about a dry ass lambic. I'm talking about sweet ass lambic.
Mm.
And those things, they're peach lambic and they're framboise lambic, which is red raspberry. Sweet as shit. That's why most people make fun of that company. But they actually make something people want to drink, as opposed to the other ones that taste like a dried sock.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a wisp of raspberry, and then a sock.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
the sock that was abandoned by the side of the road.
Yes, French lambics. Oh, no. Anything that's a French house cider. No. Why? Because one of the characteristics of a French cider is Band-Aids.
Ugh. Stop.
That's the truth.
I know, but don't ruin this great wine talking about that.
I'm just saying the French are weird. Anyway, so 288's a 90, but all of those scores are accurate in a certain sense.
Yeah, and highly recommended.
Highly recommended. Go buy it now as a special treat. You will enjoy it because guess what? We enjoy it. Mm-hmm. That's all you need to know. And
if you can't find this, find a Bougie.
Bougie.
Well, how are you going to find a Bougie anyway?
I don't know. But if you find one,
buy it, drink it, and tell us about it.
Have you looked on wine.com for anything like this?
This wasn't on wine.com when I bought it.
Oh, shit. Look at that.
Son.
So, a pretty unique wine from a pretty unique area.
Yep.
And by the way, Bougie, tip of the cap.
Tip of the cap,
and
son.
Patrick Botex, if that's your name, tip of the cap.
Yeah. Really well done.
And Steve Bodie, go fuck yourself.
Damn it, Steve made a comeback.
Welcome back. You can go fuck yourself. Okay.
Steve Bodie.
For Rob the Wine Guy, Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver, and the Triple B, we're going to bid you adieu and see you next time on the Wine Vault. Good night.